නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස Good morning, everybody. This is our last Dhamma talk in this retreat. This morning, I speak for some time, I don't know how long, and then administer the five precepts, since you have already started the retreat with the eight precepts, and I want you to go home with only five. Eight is too much for you. So administer the five precepts, and then we pass this thread around, so everybody will hold the thread. While you are holding it, we will chant sutras first in Pali, and then you read them in English. That will be the last item. This morning I want to continue the talks on awareness of death or death awareness. There are eight ways of reflecting the awareness of death. One is as having the appearance of a murderer. There is a saying, Uppatya sahevedam maranam agatam sada maranathaya okasam vadhakovya esati. From the moment we were born, the death follows us just like a murderer raising a sword to cut our heads off. The death is following us. It never stops. In fact, our entire life is a struggle to live. If anything goes wrong in food, behavior, temperature, and drinks, and so forth, if anything goes wrong, death is right there. I don't want to make you very nervous about it, but when we think about it, it is very true. I want to mention a couple of my personal experiences. The most recent one was the closest call. This December, a friend of mine from Utah and myself were walking on this road. That was a day that the roads were covered with ice. And there's a little curve. We both were walking. I was outside on the shoulder side of the road. He was inside, and a pickup truck came. I saw it coming. A driver could not control it because of the ice. And it came to me 2 feet close to me. Pickup truck. I really was frozen, speechless, motionless. I just stopped. I did not know what to do. And then, 2 feet close to me, it stopped. When it was approaching me, I thought, this is it. I cannot move to this side because of the ice. I cannot go to the other side because of the ice. I simply stuck. When the truck stopped, this man is a very nice person, elderly gentleman with his wife. He felt so sad, so disappointed, and he was awfully apologetic. A few years ago, I was walking with a German monk on the same road. And again, I was on the shoulder side of the road, and he was inside. And all of a sudden, this big, about 7 feet long, limb of a tree dropped right in front of me. Only when I stepped one foot forward, that would hit my foot. 5 years ago, I think, when he was here, it happened. So, we don't know. We may be walking very mindfully. There was a gentleman who is a Japanese. He said to one of his friends when he was in the hospital, he said, all my life, I learned how to fall safely. Because he was an Aikido or Karate or Kung Fu teacher. So he knows how to fall properly, safely. He said, all my life I learned how to fall safely. But this time I fell, I was very mindful, walking very slowly, and knowing how to fall properly, I fell. I could not get up. And that was his last fall, and he died. We prepare, always we prepare to live safely. You know, without getting injured, without getting trouble, walk on the road, drive a car, fly on an airplane, all sort of things we do always with tremendous care. Nobody really deliberately want to die. Unless, of course, something very, very wrong in our chemistry. Otherwise, nobody deliberately want to die. Every one of us wants to live. And therefore, this statement is very true. Death is always following us. We must remember that. Another way, the second way is as the ruin of success. That means we have been successful in many ways in our life. All our success goes down the drain. One day, in one single event, single accident, single something happens, all our successes go down the drain. End of our life. Please remember, I am not telling these things to make you nervous, scared, to shut yourself inside the house, not to come out of the house thinking that something might happen, I might die, I don't know to go anywhere. Not to scare like that. But just to think very rational, understanding, educated, matured adults, we got to think of this reality in life. For this purpose I am telling this. And Buddha told us, And the third way is by comparison. We always compare ourselves with others. We compare us with others, with our success, achievement, education, strength, health, and so forth, our bank account, and our circle of friends, what we can do, what we cannot do, and so forth. Thinking of all these things, we compare with others. That is called mana. Mana means measurement. We use ourselves as the yardstick, and we measure us with against others. How tall I am, how big I am, how successful I am, how this I am, how much successful so-and-so, how much educated so-and-so, and so forth. We always do this kind of comparison. That is not the comparison we are supposed to do in this particular respect. In this respect, we must compare how the nature affect all of us. People with great success passed away. People without any success passed away. People with great education passed away. The greatest scientists, mathematicians, intellectuals, philosophers passed away. Great holy persons, noble persons passed away. Somebody might say, so-and-so lived for 400 years. Even 400 years is the limit. The person passed away. Even 400 years, if somebody can live that long. Arahants, fully enlightened individuals, passed away. Silent Buddhas passed away. Supremely enlightened Buddha passed away. Then, needless to talk of myself, I too will follow the same path exactly as they did. There's no difference. When death comes, death does not recognize education, poverty, richness, power, and desperation, sickness, and appearance, success. Death doesn't recognize any of them. It just sweeps across the whole universe. That we have to remember all the time. And the next way is as sharing the body with many. We don't think that way. Actually, we are sharing our body even now. While living, we share the body with many. A lot of germs are there, a lot of worms are there. One day a doctor told me, there came a very beautiful young woman. In a bottle she brought this long worm that she passed. Long worm in her body. She passed. And she put it in a bottle and brought it to the doctor to show him. I mean, we don't know what sort of things we have within ourselves. We have germs, worms, virus, microbes, and so forth living on our body, sharing this body, eating this body, inside and outside. When their number increased, when they become successful, we'll be dead. So we have to always take care of our bodies to prevent them not growing in number and strength. They're doing all sort of things. Then, next way to think of our, think every day, is as to the frailty of life. It is so delicate. We think it is so strong. Life is so delicate. Anything can happen to us. So we must think about it very carefully. And then signless, in my outline I made a typo here, you may see that. Buddha said, Animittam ananyatam macchanam idha jivitam kasirancha parittancha tancha dukkhena sangutam. Animittam ananyatam. We don't know the sign of death until death approaches. We don't know. And we don't know the time of death when we are going to die. We also don't know the place where we will die. And we don't know how we are going to die. In fact, we have fear of not only so much of death, but the way, the manner how we die, of what sickness we die, how long we will be bedridden, how long we will have suffering, how long we have to spend in hospice. And these are the things that makes us frightened. And therefore, since we don't know any of these things, we must reflect on when something like this happened, how I manage my life, how I spend the rest of my life in such situations. For this reason, we got to remember that. The next thing we have to remember is as to the limitedness of the extent, that means how long we live. We are supposed to live about 100 years. Human lifespan is about 100 years, and some people live little longer than that. And when we see a young person dies, we say that person died untimely death. Untimely death means we have in our mind that we have a perception, a notion, assumption that we are supposed to live so long, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, and so forth. If somebody dies in 20, 30, 40, 50, we say that is very young. It is an untimely death. Friends, there is no time frame, no schedule for death. As we already recited in earlier recitals, unfortunately I made 3 recitals, only one we managed to read, other two we forgot or we didn't have time to read or recite. Since you have the notes, please look at them. In one of the recitals, we said, uninvited we came, without leave, without taking proper leave, we leave, depart. Anabhito tato aga ananunyato itogato yathagato tathagato katatta paridevana. Anabhito tato aga, without invitation we came. Nobody invited us to come here. Not to the bhavana, I mean to this world. And we leave without taking any proper leave, saying goodbye. We may have goodbye in our mind, but we don't take it properly. And that happens any time. And then the next thing is as to the shortness of the moment. I think this also is very important. Sometimes this is very important thing we always forget. How long is a moment? There are 3 moments, rising moment, peak moment, and passing away moment. And sometimes people say, well, this is not in the Buddha's own teaching, but this is the commentarial description, commentarial explanation. That is not true. The Buddha himself has said, as I mentioned the other day, සංකතස තීනි මානි භික්ඛවේ සංකතස සංකත ලක්ෂණානි උප්පාදෝ පඤ්ඤායති වයෝ පඤ්ඤායති තිතස අඤ්ඤතත්ථං පඤ්ඤායති. Here he mentioned uppada, vaya and titi. That is rising, peak and passing away. Three moments. This is called khana. In Pali it is called khana bhanguratta. Khana bhanguratta. That means things are breaking up every single moment. I mean, appearing, disappearing every single moment. And therefore a moment is a very inconceivably insignificant moment of time. That is how we, only that long we live. I give you an example later on. So, but we got to reflect on that very often. And the last is, as having the appearance of a murderer. First I said, it is, we feel that murderer is following us. This point emphasizes that death is in the present. Death is here. It is not too far. It is always present, since the moment is always there, and any moment death is there. Then, why do we want to do all these things? Why do we want to cultivate these ideas, these reflections? Why we want to have these reflections? Because we want to live every single moment profitably, meaningfully, in a wholesome way. For this reason, we want to reflect on this death. Because when we know death is so sure, it comes any time, we must prepare for it. To prepare for death, because we cannot prepare it at the last moment, we have to prepare now, when we are alive, when we are healthy, when we are not sick, when we are relatively young, and knowing that it is going to happen to us one of these days. And therefore, every single moment we live in a wholesome way. What is the wholesome way? Wholesome way is to practice metta. Don't keep any anger, resentment, hatred in the mind. Try not to have any. Of course, since we are not perfectly enlightened, we may have some, but try not to cultivate them. Not to cultivate anger, hatred towards anything or anybody. Because to die with hate, anger is a very, very unfortunate. We will be reborn as devils, demons, animals, if we die in anger. We can be reborn as ghosts, goblins, in a very miserable places. Therefore, don't keep any anger in mind. Always let it go. Not to harbor anger, we must cultivate metta. Metta, loving friendliness. Try to be friendly with yourself, friendly with others, friendly with everybody. Just be friendly in your very bottom of your, from your bottom of your heart, very honestly, sincerely, not pretending to be a friend, but honestly, sincerely, we must try from the bottom of our heart, very utmost sincerity, try to be friendly, cultivate friendly thought every day, so that mind will always remain relaxed. Always remain comfortable, always peaceful and happy. and that will not be anything different from the moment when you die. Because this, you know, this is called achinna kamma. Achinna kamma means karma that we accumulate. The karma that we do habitually. When we do something repeatedly again and again and again and again, that will become a habit. That's called kusala sila. Kusala sila as opposed to akusala sila. Akusala sila means sila. The word sila normally is used for morality. This doesn't mean immoral or, but here the sila means habit. I have mentioned this before too. There is a beautiful discourse in the Majjhima Nikaya called Samana Mandika Sutta. Samana Mandika Sutta. In that sutta, Buddha used these two terms. Kusala sila and akusala sila. Kusala sila means wholesome habit. There Buddha used the word sila for habit. Akusala sila means unwholesome habit. If we cultivate kusala sila, wholesome habit, that becomes a part of our life. You know, we do many things habitually, automatically. As soon as we get up in the morning, we want to drink. Some people have a habit of drinking coffee. They have to drink coffee, otherwise they cannot function. Some people want to drink water. They have to do it, otherwise they cannot function. Some people want to drink tea. Something, or some people want to listen to music, turn radio, turn TV. These are habits. If they don't do that, they feel something missing the whole day. Similarly, if we cultivate something very wholesome as a habit, you will really miss it if you one day forget to do it. And therefore, practice metta every single day, possible, if possible, every single moment. So that it becomes a very natural practice. When we die, it naturally comes to us. And we will be very friendly. We can die with a smile. Although there may be pain, aches, difficulties, but our heart has become already so conditioned to accept the death with a smile, with peace and relaxed. Next thing we must do, it is even more difficult, but even more beneficial, more effective. Be mindful, practice mindfulness. What is the kind of mindfulness that we must practice all the time? Mindfulness of impermanence. Friends, that is the easiest thing to do when you practice it. Why? Anytime you close your eyes, you experience something. And pay total attention to that experience, and you see that experience is not static. It is changing. It is changing in a very high speed, very quickly. Whether it is a breath or feeling, any perception, any sound, any sensation, any thought, anything you experience, just pay total attention to that to see it's changing. Anything you experience is changing all the time. So death is therefore not something different from what you experience every day. And therefore, even at the moment of death, when we are really going to breathe our last breath, we experience impermanence. with that we pass away. No remorse, no regret, no trouble. And then Buddha gave very beautiful practical instructions. This is what I call non-verbal mindfulness. Without mindfulness without labors. This is somewhat very subtle, more subtle. Only when you really pay mindful attention, you will realize it, not just superficially understand. You observe something. You are the subject. What you observe is the object. So we can see subject and object. When you observe something, you experience what you are observing is changing. At the same time, you experience you are changing. Without your changing, you cannot experience changes of the object. The mind observes something. While mind observing something, mind also is changing. When the mind observes something, mind knows the object is changing. At the same time, mind also is changing. So observing the observed object is changing and observing mind is changing at the same time. So there is nothing static. Subject and object are changing at the same time simultaneously. Just watch that. You will see that, you will experience it. This is where we really see selflessness. Selflessness we can see right there. So Buddha said in a very beautiful way, to practice mindfulness of death in a more practical way, and he showed the urgency of practicing mindfulness of death. He said, there is a bhikkhu who says to himself, "Oh, let me live a night and day that I may attend to the Blessed One's teachings. Surely much could be done by me. Let me live for one day and one night. There is plenty of time for me to be mindful and practice mindfulness and gain some stages of enlightenment. Let me live one day." Second monk would say, the first monk say, "Let me live one day and one night." Second monk would say, "Let me live only one day, so that I will have plenty of time. One day is 12 hours. Plenty of time to practice Dhamma and attain liberation." Third monk would say, "Oh, let me live as long as it takes to eat a meal." He's sitting at the meal time. So he would say, "Let me eat this meal so that I will have plenty of time to practice Dhamma and attain liberation." Fourth monk would say, "Oh, let me live as long as it takes to chew and swallow 4 or 5 mouthfuls. He is not thinking of even the eating the whole meal. He is thinking, so long as I live to finish swallowing 4 or 5 mouthfuls, chewing and swallowing. Fifth monk would say, then the Buddha said, regarding these 4 monks, Buddha said, these are called bhikkhus who dwell in negligence. These are the bhikkhus who live in negligence, not vigilant, not mindful, not diligent. One want to live one day and night, another want to live one day, another want to eat and live until he finishes his meal, and the fourth wanted to live until he finished 4 or 5 mouthfuls of food. Buddha said, still they are negligence. Then he said about the fifth monk. Fifth monk says, oh, let me live for as long as it takes to chew and swallow 1 single mouthful. He's not worried about, he doesn't worry about 3 or 4 or 5. He says, only 1 mouthful. Sixth monk would say, oh, let me live for as long as it takes to breathe 1 inhaling breath. Breathe in 1 breath. Not actually one half breath, 1 inhaling. The seventh monk would say, oh, let me live for as long as it takes to breathe, as long as it takes to breathe out, 1 out breath. Then Buddha said, these are called bhikkhus who dwell in diligence and keenly develop mindfulness of death for the destruction of defilements. Only these last 3 Buddha called the monks who lived in with diligence and practicing mindfulness of death. See, it is so urgent, so important. And that is why we wanted to define the meaning of moment and try to be mindful of the breath very diligently. So when somebody passes away, we go for the funeral. At the funeral, we recite 1 stanza. In Buddhist funerals, in recent years, people start talking about the one who died, about his qualities, how great person he is, and how much service he has done to the society, his family, his lineage, his relatives, his success, and so forth and so on. But in earlier days, in traditional Buddhist way, we don't talk about the person. No matter how great the person is, we don't talk about the person. We talk about the Dhamma. Because the Dhamma is universal. And that is the moment when somebody passes away. That is the moment we must remind people of the truth of Dhamma. You know, we can talk about people anytime you go to a political meeting, you can hear about everything about a person. Read the newspaper, take a book, read the gossip column. You know, you can read about people, all sort of things. When they die, we just talk about the Dhamma. So we say anicca vata sankhara uppada vayadhammino uppajjitva niruddhanti tesang upasamo sukho. That is what we say. Anicca vata sankhara. All the conditions, things are definitely impermanent. Uppada vayadhammino, they all are of the nature of arising and passing away. Uppajjitva niruddhanti, having come to existence, they pass away. Thesang vupasamo sukho, liberating from this phenomenon is a blissful, is happy. And then we give a sermon on the truth of the Dhamma, of the nature of life, all in general terms. And we say, just like this person, one day we all will end up right here. Pointing to the dead persons, we say, just like him, we all end up exactly like this. And therefore, we must always think of doing something noble, wholesome, beneficial, meaningful to us as well as to the society. So is Buddhist funerals. Very simple, because once a person dies, āyusmāca viññānaṁ yadākāṁ jahantimāṁ apaviddho tadāseti nirattanga kalingaraṁ. When somebody passes away, all the warmth of the body goes, disappears. Lifespan is ended. Consciousness is gone. The body remains like a piece of log. Nirattanga kalingaraṁ. We have a kuti here called kalingara. Kalingara means a log. Wood, log of wood. Actually, when we die, we are worse than a log. Log we can use for fire. Can we use our body for anything? Except perhaps medical students might use for parts to study the, you know, when they study, anatomy, biology, perhaps they might use. But otherwise, is there any use? Worse than a log. So, people have all kind of rituals, superstitious beliefs with regard to the dead bodies. Some don't want to burn, don't want to cremate, because they expect the body, this body, buried, should be buried underground, 6 feet underground, so that one day this body will rise up. Here is the Buddha's explanation of that. We meditate on dead bodies. When we meditate on dead bodies, we reflect this. As I mentioned yesterday, we cannot see dead bodies. And therefore, sometimes people say, since we cannot see dead bodies, how can we meditate on that? If it is something that everybody can practice, there should be some universal system, method, a way of practicing it. So, Buddha said, as if, since we don't see them, we must imagine Seyyathapi bhikkave. Ekahamatan, dvihamatan, tihamatan, uddhumatakam, vinilakam, vipubbaka jatam. So, imameva kayam upasangharati, ayampi kokayo, evang dhammo, evang bhavi, etang, anatitoti. Just like, just imagine that there is a body, 1, 2, 3, 4 days dead. Vinilakam vipubbhajatam, turn blue and discolored. Just imagine. Imagine. And then imagine this body of mine will be exactly like that after 1, 2, 3, 4 days dead. And then visualize stages of decomposing. Stage by stage. I don't have to go through all these things. You can visualize how a body gradually decomposes. They are divided into 9 stages in the sutras. But you can divide it into 100 of stages. Every day you can consider to be a new stage of that dead body, because every day you can see the body changing into different stage, different appearance. And finally, it reduces to powder, dust. All the flesh, sinews, blood, all slowly absorb into the earth, and the bones are separated and they're scattered here and there, and then they all gradually decay and break up and turn into dust. When one big gush of wind comes, that dust will be blown away. There's nothing. So, this really what happens to the body when we die. But, as soon as we die, immediately, without any gap, any interval, we will take rebirth, take another life. So, what will happen to the dead body? We can do anything we want to do. In some traditions, they deposit it in the charnel ground and decomposed naturally. In some other traditions, of course, these days some bury, some cremate. In Buddhist countries, especially in Sri Lanka, we know when a body is buried, after a few years, another person's body can be buried in the same grave. The grave diggers know where the bodies were buried and how long they were buried, and if they were buried for several years, then without any hesitation they go and dig the place, because it is easy to dig. They don't have big tractors, bulldozers, all modern mechanical things to dig. They do it all by hand. Therefore, always they look for a softest place. Softest place is one of the graves that has been there for few years, and dig it and bury another body right there. Nobody owns the earth. In a common cemetery, very small, limited piece of land is there. Everybody has to share that. Therefore, this is the best and most practical way to share the little cemetery. Bury a body in a grave which is few years old, and when it is decayed, decomposed, after few years, another body brings and buries there. Very simple. Because we want to understand the truth, and we want to realize the truth, and no clinging, no craving, no attachment, no claiming the ownership of the grave. Friends, with this, I like to conclude today's talk and I hope I did not scare you or made you more gloomy and have a more pessimistic attitude towards Buddha's teaching. As I mentioned, we always try to be very, very practical and realistic, and even the death we accept as a matter of reality, the truth, and practical, in a practical way. So I hope to conclude this talk, and I appreciate your participation, your coming, your patience, and let me share merits with all beings.
Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mangparam. Devo vasatu kalena sassa sampatti hotu ca pito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. Amen.